Welcome to your Sunday Reader, a joint podcast between St. Mary Parish and WorkingToBeatHell.org. Today we'll be discussing the readings for the third Sunday of Lent 2007.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Moses was tending the flock of his father-in-law Jethro, the priest of Midian. Leading the flock across the desert, he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There an angel of the Lord appeared to Moses in fire flaming out of a bush. As he looked on, he was surprised to see that the bush, though on fire, was not consumed. So Moses decided, "I must go over to look at this remarkable sight and see why the bush is not burned." When the Lord saw him coming over to look at it more closely, God called out to him from the bush, "Moses, Moses!" He answered, "Here I am." God said, "Come no nearer. Remove the sandals from your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. I am the God of your fathers," he continued, "the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob." Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look at God. But the Lord said, "I have witnessed the afflictions of my people in Egypt, and have heard their cry of complaint against the slave drivers, so I know well what they are suffering. Therefore I have come down to rescue them from the hands of the Egyptians, and lead them out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey." Moses said to God, "But when I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you,' if they ask me, 'What is his name?' what am I to tell them?" God replied, "I am who am." Then he added, "This is what you shall tell the Israelites: I am sent me to you." God spoke further to Moses, "Thus shall you say to the Israelites: The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever. Thus am I to be remembered through all generations." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord is kind and merciful. The Lord is kind and merciful. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all my being bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. The Lord is kind and merciful. He pardons all your iniquities. He heals all your ills. He redeems your life from destruction. He crowns you with kindness and compassion. The Lord is kind and merciful. The Lord secures justice and the rights of all the oppressed. He has made known his ways to Moses and his deeds to the children of Israel. The Lord is kind and merciful. Merciful and gracious is the Lord, slow to anger and abounding in kindness. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so surpassing is his kindness towards those who fear him. The Lord is kind and merciful.
A reading from the first letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. I do not want you to be unaware, brothers and sisters, that our ancestors were all under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and all of them were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. All ate the same spiritual food, and all drank the same spiritual drink, for they drank from a spiritual rock that followed them, and the rock was the Christ. Yet God was not pleased with most of them, for they were struck down in the desert. These things happened as examples for us, so that we might not desire evil things as they did. Do not grumble as some of them did, and suffer death by the destroyer. These things happened to them as an example, and they have been written down as a warning to us, upon whom the end of the ages has come. Therefore, whoever thinks he is standing secure should take care not to fall. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Some people told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with the blood of their sacrifices. Jesus said to them in reply, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were greater sinners than all other Galileans? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 people who were killed when a tower at Siloam fell on them. Do you think they were more guilty than everyone else who lived in Jerusalem? By no means. But I tell you, if you do not repent, you will all perish as they did." And he told them this parable. There once was a person who had a fig tree planted in his orchard, and when he came in search of fruit on it, but found none, he said to the gardener, "For 3 years now I have come in search of fruit on this fig tree, but have found none. So cut it down. Why should it exhaust the soil?" He said to him in reply, "Sir, leave it for this year also, and I shall cultivate the ground around it and fertilize it. It may bear fruit in the future. If not, you can cut it down." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, thank you for joining us today on this podcast. Today I had some thoughts, Dawn, about the Gospel reading today. Actually, a lot of things struck me from this Gospel passage. One of them being the first half of it where Jesus is talking about the Galileans who died in tragic ways or people who died when the tower fell on them. And I thought one interesting thing about this is that he points out that these people are no more guilty than anybody else around them. A lot of times you hear in our society people passing judgment on people who face tragedy, saying this is God's way of punishing them.
Yeah.
And you see it all the time. I mean, I can think, I worked with people this summer who are HIV positive. And in working with that community, there were a lot of people who judged the people in this community and saying, oh, well, the reason that they got HIV or that they got AIDS is because they sinned against God, or this is God's way of punishing them. And I think this kind of goes right into it. That's not the case at all, is what Christ is saying. He says everybody has some guilt that they bear, and we all need to repent of it, or we all will perish eventually.
Right. He says you all perish as they did. Now, he doesn't mean like they'll all perish tragically, like suddenly, but everybody, if you don't repent, you die suddenly without warning. It's the same type of thing. I'm not making any sense, I just realized. But in my brain, it made sense.
actually, no, that did make sense. It's because what it's saying is it's not saying you'll die in the same manner
right.
as these people, but you will die nonetheless. And if you've not repented, you know, you're really jeopardizing your chance of living forever or that eternal life. That there has to be some sense of repentance there. And I think that's something that a lot of times we can tend to dismiss. We kind of think, oh, well, I'm good enough. But we really do need to look at our own lives and really come to that sense of saying, wow, you know, there are certain things that I've done that I really should be sorry for, and I really need to try to correct those things that I've done, which is one of the great things about this Lenten season. And it's not saying that we need to be overly scrupulous, but at the same time, we don't want to take our salvation for granted either. And we do realize that we are sinful people, just as everybody else is a sinful person. And we should be mindful of that fact and repent when we recognize that we've done things that are wrong.
I've heard a lot of different interpretations on the parable of the fig tree. People saying, well, God is this person and Jesus is the other person and blah, blah, blah. What do you think, Brian? What's your interpretation of it?
One of the things that I tend to think about this is the fig tree being more us, representing us. And I think that the whole conversation, it could actually just be even something going on in God's mind, if you will. But I think the important thing that, for me, or what I take out of it, is that at some point, there will come a time when we will reach a judgment. And at that point, we need to be people who bear fruit. God will be patient with us, clearly. I see God being the patient person who says, let's just give it one more year. And I think that's supported by some other things in the Gospels, such as the story of the wheat and the tares, where God decides, I'm not going to uproot the weeds because they might end up actually being wheat, so I'm just going to let them grow together, mm-hmm. or things like that. But I kind of interpret it as God saying, I will give it time and I will give you every chance. But at some point, if it bears no fruit, it will be chopped down. And again, it's the same kind of a message that we get when Jesus says, you know, he'll separate the goats from the sheep or from the lambs, and talks about that. There is a judgment element that will come, and we do believe as Christians that it will come. I don't know whether or not there's anyone in hell or not or anything like that. That's a question that the church doesn't even respond to. I always tell people that as Catholics, we believe there's a hell, but we hope there's nobody there. At the same time, I think that doesn't give us free license to do whatever we want to do and act anyway because we're confident that we can be saved anyway. We don't want to take our salvation for granted. You know, I have a professor at the seminary, when he talks about salvation, he said, there may be nobody in hell, but you don't want to be the first person to go there. You know? So that's kind of an image right there as well, that we don't want to take our salvation for granted. We do need to be people who bear fruit, but we also understand that God will be patient with us. And I think that we need to be patient with others around us, because a lot of times I think we become judgmental and we say that person is a bad egg, or that person won't bear any fruit in their life, or what possible good could that person do? And there's been several stories of people like that where you find early on people had dismissed them, and later on in life they turn out to be very good people, very important people. People might have even said that about somebody like St. Augustine. Mm-hmm. Very early on in his life, he's running around, he's in with the wrong crowd, he's stealing pears, he's having all kinds of affairs with women and everything else, just gallivanting around. And people probably looked and said, what good could this kid possibly do? You know, why not let's just end our misery with him or something? And then he has this conversion experience and turns out to bear huge fruit that the church today is still constantly examining and reading Augustine and, you know, really looking at his works, and it's influenced, you know, so many thousands of people and thousands of years of theology. So I think that we can't just dismiss people either as being a bad egg, or in this case, you know, a tree that will produce no fruit.
I think it's so interesting about how we don't really like to talk about how God will judge us, or how God in the end will judge us. Period. We like to sort of avoid that, but how easy it is for us to judge other people in everyday big things and little things. You know, it just shows how human we are.
Yes. And a lot of times the thing that we do is we also, when people try to give us that feedback, and I've mentioned this before, we kind of, instead of taking that feedback to heart and looking for that repentance and looking for our own conversion, we like to instead just give our feedback back to the person who gave it to us. Well, you're not perfect either, you know, kind of thing. Now, you mentioned before the podcast, Dawn, that the first reading was one of your favorite favorite Bible passages. And I was just curious if you could say a little something about that, why it is, why you like it so much, or why it touches you.
Well, there's a few reasons. The first is when Moses gets near the bush, God tells him to take off his sandals because it's holy ground. And whenever we go on retreat with the teenagers, we always have them take their shoes off at the door because they're usually muddy. But you end up with this huge pile of shoes, and it always makes me think of this is holy ground, because it really is. And in reality, we need to remember everywhere we walk is holy ground, and we need to act like that at the same time. The second reason I like it is because for a while in my life, I would run across this passage in like my daily reading or somehow. And whenever I ran across it, something huge would happen, and I would have to either go confront someone, or when I left my job at Paychex, this was one of the passages I kept running into. And it was really, thankfully, I'm glad God put it there, because it reminded me that I don't do it by myself. I'm doing it because he's asking me to, not because it's my own. And even though it's really hard, I will make it through with his help.
Okay, excellent. Yeah, that is, I mean, it's a passage that I've read. I've not, You had as much experience. I do like the image, though, of the holy ground and the taking off the shoes. And I'm not offering a theological exegesis, but I'm offering my own personal reflection here. And the idea that you don't put a barrier between yourself and God, even with the shoes that you come and, it's holy that you don't need to have shoes to keep it clean. But also, shoes often carry our dirt and our
Exactly,
mud and
yeah.
things. And when you step out of your shoes, it's kind of you're clean and you're stepping on something that's clean. I think that's a powerful image there too. The other thing that always kind of strikes me with this one is the question of, who should I say sent me? And the God of Israel responds, or God responds, tell him I am sent you. In other words, there's no name, there's no word that's going to capture God. It's I'm so much bigger that you can't use a name to call me by, because I'm so much bigger than anything, and what I am is existence itself. And that I think is a powerful image. And as I've done some study on the doctrine of God, one of the things that one of my professors says that I like a lot is to be God is to be. In other words, the act of existence is what God is, in a sense. He's not a thing amongst things. He is existence itself. And I think when you really start to press on this philosophically, it becomes really powerful and really cool.
And a few months ago, maybe last summer, Father Mall was giving a homily, and in it he talked about must have been the passage on the bread of life, and he said was talking about I am the bread of life, and he was saying to the people that were hearing that at the time, when they heard the I am part, they would immediately relate that to God. And it's the same with I am the vine and I am all of those I am things, and it never even occurred to me. I
Yeah.
felt dumb at the time. But
Yes,
it was really powerful.
well, that's Father Mall's job, to make us all feel dumb. No, Father Mall does a very good job preaching and helping us all learn something through his reflections. And hopefully you've learned something this podcast, and hopefully we've given you some thoughts for this weekend as you head into it and you feel prepared as you enter the third week of Lent. Have a good week, and we'll see you next week on your Sunday Reader.